1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, please. As I announced this morning, I am going to do a Mother's Day sermon tonight and talk about Hannah. Last Mother's Day, I talked about Bathsheba and said that really when you look at the life of Bathsheba, she is sadly remembered for her one mistake and is not remembered for all the good that she did, and that was in raising Solomon to be a great king. And really, I think many of the Proverbs come from the instructions of Bathsheba. Tonight, what I'd like to do is look at another great hero of faith, that is Hannah. Hannah only has two chapters about the Bible, but she is just an incredible person to look at. And I'd like to go through these chapters and draw a few principles that I think she gives us. So let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. There was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. The other was Penina. And Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. Now, this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Penina, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?" After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow to the Lord, saying, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give to him the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking to her in her heart. Only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, "How long do you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you." And Hannah answered, "No, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you petition that you have made him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." And the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They arose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. They went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, "I have asked for him from the Lord." So two principles I would like to glean from these first few verses. The first is, Hannah provides us an example of faithfulness in a faithless world. Let me set the context of 1 Samuel for you. If you'll look immediately before this, we find another great book of the Bible, Ruth. And if you look right before that, you find the saddest of all Old Testament books, the book of Judges. By the time you get to the end of the period of the book of Judges, it is just, as I said this morning, civil war, sinfulness, wickedness. It is a horrible time in Israelite history. Hannah arrives in Israel during a time of immense wickedness. And you even notice within her own family, you'll notice her husband's name. Not a lot is said about him. We get his name, Elkanah. And we know that Elkanah, verse 1 is where you find it, had two wives, Hannah and Penina. showing us polygamy had to have been common during those times. And then you have Peninnah, who all that she knows to do is scoff at Hannah because she has children and Hannah doesn't. But then, amidst this story, you find Hannah. Do you notice how she describes herself in verse 16? Hannah says, this is talking to Eli, "Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman." Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman. Now, if you're familiar with the Old Testament scriptures, hopefully that phrase is going off in your head. What is the opposite of a worthless woman? A worthy woman. And this idea of worthless women and worthless men, it's a very common theme that you find introduced in 1 and 2 Samuel. What Hannah is saying is this: I am born into a world of wickedness and godliness, but apart from my culture that I am living in, I am going to live a life of faithfulness. And that's what Hannah demonstrates, is no matter what else is going on around her, she will live a life of faithfulness, a life of worthiness before her God. Even note who she meets. She meets Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Now, if you know anything about Hophni and Phinehas, they are worthless fellows. Worthless fellows. They take the worst of the work of priesthood and make it worthless. Hannah is surrounded by worthless individuals, yet she herself is a worthy woman. Now, principle here I think is very obvious. Parents have a decision for themselves to make about how they are going to live. I, as a young man, have heard more times than I can even begin to count, I don't know why you young people want to have kids today. It's just such a scary world. I could never imagine raising kids in a world like this. About 3 years ago, if you do the math, I realized this. Noah had sons after finding out about the flood. I think we're going to do okay. Hannah does the same. Hannah's born into a wicked world, but she still is going to live a life of faithfulness before God. The faithfulness of our children is not contingent just on the culture around us. It's on the character of their parents. And that's what you see in Hannah, and that's what she is going to give to her son, is a character of faithfulness in a faithless world. Point two I'd like to make comes down from verse 19. Read with me again. Verse 19. They, that is, Elkanah and his family, rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. They went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. The second point that Hannah teaches us is that children are a heritage from the Lord. Stay with me in 1 Samuel 1, but go over to Psalm 127, please. This has become one of my favorite psalms over the last 2 years. Look at Psalm 127 with me. Psalm 127. Begin in verse 1. I'm going to read the whole thing. It's very short. A song of ascents of Solomon. How fitting. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, verse 3, I have this one underlined in my study Bible. Children are a heritage from Yahweh, from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. A couple of principles that this psalm is teaching us, but I think the main one that I want to draw this evening is in verse 3. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Now, I'm sure for many of you, the story of Hannah is very painful. We've had women here who have had troubles with conception and troubles with various types of pregnancy concerns. The story of Hannah is difficult. There's some women who go years and years and years, never able to bear children. Hannah was the same. For some reason, God in his providence will bless some with children, others he won't. But I think what Hannah reminds us is, all children are a heritage from the Lord. It's not because of the work of our hands, but it's because of the blessing from God that he gives children to us. And Hannah recognizes that blessing. Now, I'll just make a quick side note. If you look down at verse 4, Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. After we found out we were having twins, I just had multiple individuals. Boy, that quiver's a shaking, isn't it? Yes, it was. Yes, it was, Brooklyn. All right. So that's the point that she teaches us. Now, let me remind you also. Barrenness has been a problem up to this point in biblical history. Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Samson's mother, Elizabeth even, is going to have troubles with barrenness. But what you're going to find is God taking a woman who's barren, blessing her with children, and she then will use those children as an immense blessing. And I think all of us know, all of us who've had children, there is nothing, nothing in this world as stressful as having and raising children. You take all of the other stresses of this life and combine them. They do not combine to the nerves of a parent. But I think a lot of that is just to remind us how precious the gifts that we have are. And to remind us how truly wonderful this gift from God is, that He is the one blessing us, and we need to live as ones of faithfulness who are using His blessings for His good glory. So that's the second lesson that Hannah teaches us. Number one, be faithful parents in a faithless world. Number two, children are a heritage. Continue with me in the narrative. Verse 21 of chapter 1 of 1 Samuel 1:21. The man Elkanah and his house went up to offer to the Lord to the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever." Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, a skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And he said, "Oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord, and he worshiped there." I'm going to skip chapter 2 for a minute. I'm going to come back to it in a moment. But I want you to skip down with me to chapter 2:18. Chapter 2:18. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy clothed in a linen ephod. And his mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord give your children by this woman for the petition she asked of the Lord." So then they would return to their home. Indeed, the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters, and the boy Samuel grew in the presence of the Lord. Hannah, because of her humble requests to God, is blessed, and God is going to bless her not just with Samuel, but with many other children. Now, we don't know about those children. That's just not recorded in the scriptures for us. But I'd like to turn with you back to chapter 1:22. There's a phrase here that really piques my interest. Chapter 1, verse 22. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever." The third point I would like to draw from Hannah is this. The chief desire of every parent should be that our children may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. Isn't that a strong, strong phrase? Again, listen. That he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. What is the desire of every parent? Well, if you're like me, you have many. But above all others, that our children will appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. Now, you take this in the life of Hannah. This happens with Samuel. What's interesting about Samuel is you go throughout the narrative. He dies in 1 Samuel 25, so he doesn't appear in 2 Samuel. But as you go in 1 Samuel, There's really nothing bad said about Samuel, except for one thing. His sons are worthless men. Eli's the same. Eli seems to be a good man, but his sons are worthless fellows. This is a part of the narrative I picked up in our David study that I had never noticed before. One of the reasons that Israel was calling for a king in the days of Saul was because when Israel heard that their nation may be turned over from Samuel to his sons, they revolted. They did not want Samuel's sons to be their leaders, and that was one of the reasons they chose their own king, was because Samuel's sons were so deplorable that Israel didn't even want the thought of them being the leaders. Samuel did many great things, but Samuel did not see his children dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. When you read what Hannah's desire for her son was, I think it is a very sober call for us to remember what we truly want out of our children. Jessica gets on to me at times because there's many things that I want to pass on from myself to my children. You know, I want one who loves music, one who loves to read, one who loves to cook, you know, just various aspects of me that I can pass on. And my very level-headed wife has reminded me many times, Ryan, it doesn't matter. If they're faithful to the Lord, that's all that matters. You know, I've had people ask, oh, you know, you must really want children who are going to be academics. No, not really. I really couldn't care less. I don't care if they're athletes or academics or what they are, so long as they dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The call that Hannah has for us is, dwell in the house of the Lord. Fourth point I would like to make from Hannah actually comes from her psalm. This is a beautiful, beautiful prayer that she offers. 1 Samuel chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Hannah prayed and said, my heart exults in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken. The feeble bind on strength. Those who are full hire themselves out for bread. But those who are hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne seven. But she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raised the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit the seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his kings. He will exalt the horn of his anointed. Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, and the boy was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, the priest. It's a powerful, powerful prayer she has, thanking God for his deliverance and his blessing and his steadfast love. One phrase I'd like to point out to you comes in verse 5. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. Do you think that's maybe a side jab at Penina? The Lord, verse 6, kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and he raises up. The fourth point I would like to offer is Hannah is a foreshadow of Mary. If you'll look with me at 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. David is going to offer a great song of deliverance. Just listen to how similar these words are. 2 Samuel 22, verse 2. David said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my savior, and save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. I am saved from my enemies. What whoever wrote 2 Samuel does is take many of the lyrics from Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel 2 and bring them to a greater symphony in 2 Samuel 22. They're not identical prayers, but they're written in the same key. And then you're going to find these same ideas used in Luke chapter 1. Turn with me over to Luke chapter 1, please. Luke chapter 1. As you go through Luke chapter 1, by this point, Mary has been given the good news. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 46. This is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Luke 1, 46. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things. The rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her. That is Elizabeth, about 3 months and returned to her home. The song, this is called the Magnificat, the Magnificat in Luke 1, is again taken from the source material of 1 Samuel 2 of Hannah's prayer. Because again, what Hannah, what David, and now what Mary are doing are praising God for his blessing and his deliverance and noting that he is the one in charge. The lesson that you learn from this allusion, the connection between Hannah and Mary, is this. God is the one in control. God is the one in whom we should trust. And even in the most nerve-wracking endeavor of having and raising children, trust the Lord. And brethren, that is the lesson above all else that Hannah teaches us. That although she was a woman who was mistreated by Peninnah, she was a woman deified by Elkanah, who seems to just be a wonderful fellow. She is a woman who gave birth to just an incredible young man who arises into the one of the greatest servants in all the history of Israel. And she teaches us, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. You can be getting your songbooks out at this time. There's nothing else written about Hannah in the rest of Scriptures. 1 Samuel 1 and 2 is really it. But isn't she a remarkable individual? She is a woman of just such meekness and strength and dignity and worthiness and virtue about her. She just has so many exemplars for us to learn from. And I think as I look at the audience this evening, just seeing so many of you who have done the same in your own lives, of giving your own lives for your children, sacrificing all of your wants, desires, wishes, and freedoms for your children, trusting in the Lord, raising them in his righteousness, remembering that they are his heritage, truly a happy Mother's Day for what God has done through you as you have lived out the example of Hannah. Well, as you look at the Lord's invitation, I could just go back and read 1 Samuel 2, the prayer, because it's very powerful that Hannah prays, "God is my deliverer. God is my deliverer. When life seemed hopeless, God gave me hope. When life seemed unwinnable, God won the victory. When life seemed overwhelming, God gave the deliverance." And that's the message that Hannah teaches us, is that God is Savior, God is Deliverer. If anyone needs to respond to the Lord's invitation this very evening, come forward while we stand and while we sing.